Our theme, or my theme for this morning, is to encourage one another. And before we reflect on the words that Ellis read from the scriptures earlier, let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would open your word to our hearts and to our minds, and help us to be those who are willing to put into practice what you teach us this day. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. When Jesus began his public ministry, he had a very simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, turn away from your sins, because God's kingdom is coming, and it's time to make things right with God, and salvation and eternal life and all that is the wonderful gift of God to us by his grace will be yours. But in the Christian faith, salvation is much more than getting a ticket to heaven. It's not even that in a sense. But when we have that concept of what it is to know Jesus and to have him as our Savior, the issue then becomes, how do we live day by day for Jesus in a way that honors him and brings him glory? And one of the interesting things for me is through the scriptures, the number of times Jesus said to people things like, love one another as I have loved you. And the great apostle Paul was full of phrases such as the one we read earlier from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. So I find the one another phrases of scripture, whether they're from the teaching of Jesus or the apostle Paul or others in the Bible, very interesting. And I find them interesting because I think they are very descriptive of how the Bible says we should live our Christian lives day by day. So I want to take this out of midair in a sense, because I don't know what you've been studying together as God's people and Anna Long, but I parachute in with this one, encourage one another. We live in a culture of complaint. And one that all too often inflects the church with factionalism and fragmented fellowship. And I'm as guilty as the next person of criticizing things that I really don't like. And there's a lot in society to criticize, and sometimes, sadly, even in the church. In one of the congregations in my first charge, I preached in the early days of my ministry a sermon on the imperative of salvation. And I used the words of Jesus, you must be born again. And I said, the Bible is quite clear that it would be nice if you could be born again, it would be a good idea if you could be born again, but that you must be born again. And at the end of the service, this gentleman spoke to me at the door. He said, you're a wee whippersnapper from the back streets of Belfast. You're not going to tell me that I'm not good enough. He said, my father and my grandfather are buried there in the graveyard beside the church. I'll be buried there. My sons will be buried there. Don't you dare tell me that I'm not good enough. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says none of us are good enough for salvation. But he was not impressed with the preaching of the gospel. I then moved to Orangefield. I was 4 years in my first charge, and my church in Orangefield was there for 32 years. The criticisms were of a slightly different nature. At the end of my first Christmas in Orangefield, I preached on the virgin birth. I thought I was in safe territory till an old lady shook hands with the door of the church and she said, Mr. McBride, that was a wonderful sermon, but in Orangefield, we don't use words like virgin. I thought, she was in her 80s. Where had she been all these years at Christmas? But that was a criticism. And then my first Easter in Orangefield preached on the seven words from the cross. Now, note I say the seven words from the cross. And a dear old elder, a godly man, shook hands with the door at the end. He said, Ken, I'm so disappointed. And I thought, is this godly man, he's disappointed. What's the problem? I said to him. He said, I never thought in all my days I'd hear a Presbyterian minister speak on the seven stations of the cross. I said, no. I didn't even know what the seven stations of the cross were, being brought up in a Presbyterian church. And I said, no. I said it was the seven words of the cross. But I wonder what it is in life that you and I complain about. And in churches, there can sometimes be an awful lot to complain about. I got a call to go to visit a friend who was in hospital. He had suffered a heart attack. And I knew that as the minister of the church he was in, he'd been having a really difficult time. There had been lots of arguments and falling outs and so forth. And I never forget going to visit him in the hospital, and I hadn't even reached the bed. And he looked up and he saw me and he said, "Ken, there's no love in the church. No love in the church." And out of his heart poured a torrent of hurt and difficulty that had come from the church he was in, people complaining. I hope in Anna Long you have people who will encourage you rather than complain about everything. And I was very blessed in the church I served to have lots of encouragements. One night I was settling down to watch Match of the Day. This was about 8-9 years ago. And Man United were on. That day they had won 3-0. And this was an unusual occurrence, and I was looking forward